This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-amdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Another beautiful Wednesday evening and another one of our majalis of knowledge, majalis of ilm and majalis of dhikr. Walhamdulillah. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. And we continue in our series, the 40 Ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi Rahimahullah. Why these 40 Ahadith? Why explain these 40 Ahadith? Why did Imam An-Nawawi feel it's important to compile these Ahadith? Because as he mentioned in the Muqaddimah, in the introduction, the Deen of Al-Islam revolves around these Ahadith. They are super important ahadith. If you understand them, then in reality you have gone a long way in understanding the deen of al-Islam. Brothers and sisters, MashaAllah, in our previous majalis, we had covered up to hadith number 10, walhamdulillah. Quick bit of revision. Hadith number 10 was the hadith of Abu Huraira. Who was Abu Huraira? Famous companion. We hear his name many times. Why? Because he's the one who narrates the most number of ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his name? Abu Huraira? No, rather Abu Huraira was his kunya, father of Huraira, father of the cat, father of the hir. This was his kunya, his agnomen. As for his proper name, then there's plus minus 26 opinions about that. Why? Because subhanallah, he became super famous by his kunya, by his agnomen, and thus many forgot his original name, and that's only but natural. What does he narrate? He narrates that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that Allah has said, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, ya ayyuha ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. O the messengers, eat from the good, eat from the wholesome, wa'malu salihah, and do good deeds. And Allah has also stated to the general believers, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, eat from the good, from the wholesome, from the pure, from the tayyibat, min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, of what we have provided to you as rizq. Allah has ordered the messengers, and Allah's ordered the rest of the believers the same, that we should eat from the tayyibat, we should do good deeds, we should eat from the tayyibat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this to us as rizq. After talking about this halal and the importance of the halal and the wholesome, important brothers and sisters, we made a distinction between halal and tayyib. Not everything halal is tayyib, but everything which is tayyib is definitely halal. That there might be something which is halal, but it's not good for your health. It's made with a lot of harmful oils. It has been fried, etc., deep fried, etc., and it's harmful to your health. Allahu musta'an. So it might be halal, but it's not necessarily tayyib. But if something is tayyib, then it's definitely halal. Walhamdulillah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the example of this man, this musafir. ثم ذكر رجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر. He's got dust shriveled hair. He's got this dust on his body, and you know he's on this long journey. Technically, he's got all the ingredients for his du'a to be accepted. ثم يمد يديه إلى السماء. He's got his hands lifted up to the heavens. يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب له. He's got his hands lifted up and he's making dua, but his clothing's haram, his food's haram, his drink's haram, he's been nourished with haram. How can his dua be accepted? Allahu musta'an. Subhanallah. The importance of halal nourishment, brothers and sisters. That's what we learned from this hadith. We also discussed what happens if an individual in the days of ignorance, he amassed a lot of wealth which was from haram sources. We talked about the purification of of that. We talked about individuals who might have invested in a certain company, and that company further goes and invests in haram investments. You require purification of your wealth. We touched upon the importance of halal in your eating, and also importance of halal in your source of income. What type of occupation do you have? What type of job do you have? Are you bringing home to that blessed home, inshallah? Or rather, we want it to be a blessed home. We want it to be a house of iman. But unfortunately, many a time there are quarrels, many a time there are issues and there's problems, and the husband and the wife do not get along. Maybe the cause and the source of all of this is your income, O brother, O sister. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. That was hadith number 10. We now move on, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, tonight to hadith number 11 and hadith number 12. And subhanallah, these two ahadith are very, very close in meaning to a hadith that we've already discussed. We will see, we will learn, insha'Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. An Abi Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, sibti Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa rayhanatihi radiyallahu anhuma. Upon the authority of Abu Muhammad al-Hasan, Hasan ibn Ali, Hasan the son of Ali, ibn Abi Talib, the son of Abu Talib, and the grandson, Sibt means grandson, Sibt is the ibn of the bint, the son of the daughter, whereas Hafid is the son of the son in Arabic. Radiyallahu anhuma, he narrates, حَفِظْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I memorized from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Take note, Hassan radiallahu anh was a very young boy when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. So maybe, you know, many of his ahadith he heard from other sahaba, not directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He heard his father mention, or he heard Abu Bakr mention that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, etc. So that could generally be the case. But as for this hadith, that's why he specifies, I memorized. He heard this hadith himself. He directly got this information from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what did Hassan get directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What did he feel was so important that he memorized from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Well, here's the words. Na'ma yaribuk ila ma la yaribuk. That leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. Leave the matters where you have doubt for matters where you have absolutely no doubt. We begin the explanation bi'iznillahi ta'ala. Number one, takhrij of this hadith. Who has narrated this hadith? Where will I find this hadith? Number one, reported in the Sunan of Imam At-Tirmidhi, the Sunan of Imam An-Nasa'i, the Musnad of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, and in the Sunan of Imam Ad-Darimi. We find the full version of this hadith also has دَعْمَا يَرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكْ. Leave that which you have doubt about for that which you have no doubt. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ طَمَأْنِينَ. For verily honesty and truthfulness is contentment in the heart. وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ رِيبَ. And lying, being somebody who is dishonest, this is riba. This does not leave the heart content. Rather, your heart is always uneasy, subhanallah. As for the narrator number two, then the narrator is none other than Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. His kunya Abu Muhammad, his full name Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, born in the year 3 AH. He was first named Hajar or Harb by his parents, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, you know, what have you named my son here, grandson? And so they said, we named him this name, you know, rock or war. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, rather his name is Hassan, subhanallah. He was very handsome. He resembled the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most from all of the sahaba, subhanallah. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very handsome, so imagine Hassan the same. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua, oh Allah, I love him, so you also love him, and love whoever loves him. Subhanallah. So brothers and sisters, we testify to Allah that we love Hassan and Hussein, and thus the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will love us, and thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would also love us. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, we know that he was the caliph of the Muslims after his father was assassinated. He was the caliph for about 6 months, and then he stepped down. He abdicated in favor of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, and that year is called the year Am al-Jama'a, because the two parties, the people of Sham and the people of Iraq, they were united once again, and the body of the Muslims were one body once again. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an was also somebody who narrated plus minus 13 ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a man who married many a times. He was somebody who married many times. We find certain narrations that his father would say to the people, "Do not marry your daughters to my son Hassan." Why? فَإِنَّهُ مِطْلَاقٌ. For verily he is somebody who divorces quite often. And they would say, "No, no, we're not really bothered about that. We will marry our daughters to him. Whoever he likes, whoever he wants, he can keep. And whoever he doesn't, he can divorce." You know, obviously nobody was forcing these individuals to marry their daughters to Hassan. Nor were those women being forced to get married to Hassan. Brother, Hassan was very handsome. He was the caliph at one time. He was rich. He's from the Ahl al-Bayt. You marry Hassan and you have a kid, that kid would be from the Ahl al-Bayt. So he had a lot going for him, walhamdulillah. And, you know, at the end of the day, we follow the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that divorce is not a matter to be taken lightly. Brothers and sisters, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an passed away in the year 50 AH at the young age of 46. How did he pass away? Many narrations that he was poisoned, subhanallah. Who was responsible for this? We had discussed this matter in our discussion on the Khulafa al-Rashideen, where we dealt with this matter in great detail. We know that there were certain individuals who were very discontent, very unhappy that Hassan radiallahu ta'ala stepped down and gave over the caliphate to Muawiyah. They were like, "Muawiyah was your father's enemy. Your father fought against him. How can you ever step down and give off the caliphate to him?" And they would call him Aar al-Mu'mineen, the disgrace of the believers. They would not call him Amir al-Mu'mineen. They would call him the disgrace of the believers. He would say, "Al-Aar khayrun min an-Naar," that being a disgrace is better than the fire. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, he was buried in Jannatul Baqi, in that graveyard of Medina al-Munawwara, walhamdulillah. We now move on to the explanation of the actual hadith, insha'Allah. دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكْ. Leave that which you have doubt about for that which you have no doubt about. This hadith, very similar to our previous hadith about avoiding the doubtful matters. Halal's clear and haram's clear, and between them are doubtful matters. Whoever avoids the doubtful matters, he's protected his deen, he's protected his honor, walhamdulillah. So this hadith, very similar to that in meaning. We find that one's heart will be rested when one remains within the permissible and the acceptable. When one stays within the realm of the halal, one stays within the realm of the permissible and the acceptable, then one's heart is at peace. One's heart is content, walhamdulillah. No doubts riddle the heart. But once you are dabbling in the doubts, then as is said, you know, these doubts, they riddle your heart, Allah musta'an. We find once Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he had the slave, and the slave had given him something to eat. And later on the slave informed him that, "You know what, this is the money that I purchased this food and gave to you, I had purchased it, or I had attained this wealth in my days of jahiliyyah. I was doing some haram work, and with that wealth I bought you this thing and I fed you." What did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala do, subhanallah? What did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala do? Did he want his body to be nourished with something where there was doubt? Absolutely not. And so he induced vomiting. He induced vomiting and thus removed it from his body. Brothers and sisters, we find that the masses, the general masses of the Muslims, they are in need of examples. Examples from amongst the ulama, from amongst the leaders, who stay away from the doubtful matters, stay away from the matters where there are question marks. But if they find the alim, if they find the scholar, if they find the ulama, if they find the leaders dabbling in the matters where there's doubt, then subhanallah, they find that, and they would feel that, if our leaders, our ulama are all dabbling in the matters where there's doubt, then what about us? I mean, if the leaders are dabbling in doubtful matters, leaders are dabbling on the borderline halal and borderline haram matters, then subhanallah, it's quite easy, you know, go along mashil hal. But subhanallah, if they find their ulama, if they find their leaders, you know, giving and setting an example for them, like Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had done so, then subhanallah, they follow in that. They are looking for good examples. Brothers and sisters, take note that the heart which is pure will find unrest, will find no peace, will find absolutely no peace when one dabbles in the doubtful, when one dabbles in the borderline halal and borderline haram matters. But as for the corrupted heart, as for the diseased heart, then it will not be affected. You say that subhanallah, the hadith mentions that heart will find unrest, the heart will not be rested if it dabbles in the doubtful and the haram. But you say, I know a certain brother that this guy morning, evening and night, you know, he's dabbling in the haram and he's eating from haram, but his heart seems quite content in all of that haram. We say, well, because his heart is now diseased, his heart is now corrupted, so it will not be alert to that which is doubtful. His heart is so corrupted, it is almost dead, subhanallah. So rather, it is the heart which is still alive. It is the heart which still has iman in it. It still has that flicker of iman in it. It will be affected by the doubts. It will be affected by the doubtful matters. So take note that mashallah, Allah tabarakallah, whenever you dabble in something which is doubtful, and you know your heart is not rested, it is a sign of you having iman, walhamdulillah. It is a sign that your heart is still alive, thus it feels, thus it has, you know, it gives you that doubt and it gives you that unrest. But if it is completely rested, whether you in halal, whether you in haram, it's all the same, then in reality your heart is akin to a dead heart. Allahumma musta'an. Remember, in the body of the human being, there's a morsel of flesh, and if this morsel of flesh is correct, the rest of the body is correct. But if that morsel of flesh is corrupted, then the rest of the body is corrupted. And what is it rather? It is the heart, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, there's also a difference between doubt and mere conjecture. Mere conjecture. You know, this individual, he says, I don't want to eat this fish because maybe this fish in this ocean, it ate from something haram, etc. And I don't know. This is mere conjecture now. Allahu musta'an. Somebody goes to his friend's house and there's some food on the table there. And, you know, he's like, I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, this guy, where he shops, how he shops, etc., etc. No. That is out. We are talking about matters of reasonable doubt. As for unreasonable doubt, then throw it away. We find that some of the ulama also use this hadith as proof for avoiding the ikhtilaf of the ulama, avoiding the differences of the scholars, avoiding the differences of the scholars. You know, some ulama said that this is mustahab, some ulama said no, it is an obligation. So here, you know, you don't know, you're an ordinary layman, and so what do you do? You go ahead and you do it. Why? Because at least you would be on the safe side. Some ulama said it's recommended. Others said it is a must. It is wajib. So you do it. At least you're on the safe side. Another example would be some ulama said that this is haram. And others said no, it's makruh. And some others said it is permissible. You don't know. So you take the safer option and you stay away from it. Why? Because at least nobody could say, well, you know what? You dabbled in the makruh or you dabbled in the haram. You don't know, maybe with Allah it was haram, and thus you completely stayed away from it. And thus, sometimes avoiding doubtful matters would mean doing an act act. And sometimes it would mean abstaining from an act. Somebody said that Salatul Eid is Sunnah. Somebody else said Salatul Eid is Wajib. You don't know. What do? You make sure you perform Salatul Eid. Walhamdulillah. Somebody said this food, it is Makruh. Somebody else said it is Haram. You don't know the answer. What should you do? You should abstain from it. And thus, sometimes avoiding the doubtful would be by doing an act, and sometimes it would be by abstaining from an act. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we also find certain individuals who are riddled with doubt. Everything that they do, they are in a state of doubt. He performed his salah after salah, I don't know. Did I perform 4 rakahs? Did I perform 3 rakahs? Did I perform my dhuhr salah? Did I perform my asr salah? Etc. etc. Brothers and sisters, خذ القاعدة. Take this principle, take this قاعدة. What is it? والشك بعد الفعل لا يؤثر وهكذا إذا شكوا تكثروا. And any doubt after the completion of an act of worship, it is disregarded. I repeat, any doubt, we are not talking about certainty, but rather doubt. Any doubt after the completion of an act of worship is to be disregarded. We disregard that doubt. You performed your salah and then you doubt, did I make it asr, did I make it dhuhr, did I pray 4, did I pray 3? Don't worry, you finished your salah was fine, walhamdulillah, don't worry about that doubt, take it and throw it away. Yes. If you are certain that you only pray 3 rakahs of salatul dhuhr, then that's a different story, and here obviously you have to come with the extra one rak'ah. So if you had completed an act of worship and then you doubt whether you've done it correctly or not, then it is correct, walhamdulillah, and throw away your doubt. But what if you are in the middle of an act of worship and then you have doubt? Well, here, if for example, let's say it's your tawaf or it's your salah, I doubt, I mean my 3rd rak'ah or my 4th rak'ah. If you are like 50-50, you know, you really don't know, it's 3rd or it's the 4th, you are like 50-50, then you go with the lesser of the two numbers. Why? Because that will be yaqeen, that will be certainty. That will be the stronger option. And so you go with the lesser of the two numbers. So it's your 3rd rak'ah and then continue the 3rd and then come with your 4th rak'ah. Walhamdulillah. Same way if you are making tawaf around the Kaaba. Is it my 2nd circuit or my 3rd? You are 50-50, you are unsure. Then go with the lesser of two numbers. But if you have higher probability, it's my 2nd or 3rd rak'ah. I think, you know what, that I've got higher probability that it's my 3rd rak'ah and not my 2nd, then you go with your high probability. You go with that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And according to many a scholar, both circumstances, you perform sajdatu sahu at the end. Walhamdulillah. Ya akhi al-kareem wa ukhti al-kareema. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rid our hearts of doubt. Because that heart which is riddled with doubts is an uneasy heart. Be the doubt with regards to salah, with regards to siyam, with regards to your iman, Allahumma musta'an, with regards to Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the opposite of doubt and to grant us what? To grant us yaqeen, brothers and sisters. To grant us yaqeen, walhamdulillah. Also, brothers and sisters, we find that the heart which is pure, the heart which has iman, it will become uneasy with doubts and when one dabbles in the makruh, etc. But the heart which is dead, you know, is unaffected. We take from this and we learn from this and we teach ourselves, brothers and sisters, that discipline is easier than the pain of regret. The pain of discipline and the difficulty of discipline, holding back, avoiding, you know, doing what you were supposed to do. The pain of discipline, it is much easier than the pain of regret. Once you do it and then you regret later on, Allahu musta'an, that's tougher and that's much harder. Allahu musta'an. This hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Who was Imam al-Tirmidhi? He was Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Sawra al-Tirmidhi. He was born in the area of Tirmidh. He was born in the year 209 and he passed away in the year 279. Subhanallah. Passed away at a young age. And also narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i, born in that city in Khurasan. his name Abu Abdul Rahman Ahmed ibn Shu'ayb ibn Ali ibn Sinan, born in the year 204 or 205, and he died in the year 303. Walhamdulillah, he lived a very long life. Imam An-Nasa'i, walhamdulillah. Imam An-Nasa'i, sometimes you find people saying Imam An-Nisa'i. Nisa'i is wrong. That would mean Imam of the woman. Rather, he is Imam An-Nasa'i. Nasa'i from the place Nasa. So you don't call him Imam of the woman, but rather Imam of the area Nasa. Although technically, as they say, everyone has a share of their name. And Imam An-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, he was an individual who had married many times. He had married many times. Well, alhamdulillah. So technically, even calling him Imam An-Nisa'i might be correct, but the proper terminology is Imam An-Nasa'i, Nasa'i, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, walhamdulillah, we have now concluded hadith number 11. What did we learn? Hadith of the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He memorized from his grandfather that leave matters where you have doubt for matters where you have absolutely have no doubt. Why? This is better for your heart. Your heart will find rest in this, alhamdulillah. And take that as a qa'ida, take that as a rule, brothers and sisters. Avoid matters of doubt. If you put between yourself and the haram, the buffer region of the makruh matters, the buffer region of the doubtful matters, how far away will you be from the haram matters? Subhanallah. That's like your buffer region. So you stay away from doubt, obviously you would be avoiding the matters of haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. Allahumma اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. Dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, that suffice us from the halal and keep us away from the matters of haram. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we will move on to hadith number 12, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. Hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the next hadith, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, hadith number 12, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. What's this hadith about? Min husni islami al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves off those matters which do not concern him. Subhanallah. What an important hadith. What a beautiful hadith. If only but we implemented it in our lives. If only but we did so, how many issues, how many problems would go out of the window? عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال. Upon the authority of Abu Huraira, he narrates, and we've already discussed his biography in detail, walhamdulillah, and thus there's no point in repeating that. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من حسن إسلام المرء. Part of the perfection of one's Islam, from the beauty of one's Islam, تركه ما لا يعني, is that he leaves those matters which do not concern him. حديث حسن رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه رحمهم الله. This hadith number 12, narrated by Abu Huraira, and it's reported in the Sunan of Imam At-Tirmidhi and in the Sunan of Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah. Also you find it in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, something important. There's debate with regards to the authenticity of this hadith. So this is the first hadith so far in our 40 ahadith collection that there's been a question with regards to authenticity. This hadith, some of the ulama state that it is sahih li ghayrihi. It is authentic on the level of sahih due to its other versions and narrations. Others said, no, it is hasan li ghayrihi. It is acceptable, not sahih, but rather acceptable due to the other various narrations. And you have other scholars, for example, Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, you have Al-Judai and others of the opinion that This hadith is rather mursal. You also had from amongst the mutaqaddimeen, from amongst the classical scholars who were of this opinion, in fact many of them were of the opinion that this hadith is not hasan, nor is it sahih, rather it's on the level of mursal, and according to majority, mursal, one of the categories of weak, of da'if. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the explanation of this hadith, subhanallah, what an important hadith. From the person's perfection of their Islam, from the perfection of an individual's Islam, that if we want to know whether I am living Islam properly, if I want to know whether I am living Islam properly, then I should check whether I am in line with this hadith. If you want to know whether you are living Islam properly, check yourself in relation to this hadith. Are you concerned with regards to those matters which do not concern you? What the neighbor's up to? What the guy down the street's doing? Who's got divorced recently in the community, etc.? And what's the juicy stories behind all of that? A certain organization, there's been some malpractice, so there's some rumors of some malpractice. And my getting these messages on my WhatsApp about this one, about that one, etc., etc. Am I concerned with regards to all of that? Am I busying myself with all of that? If you are, then your Islam is not perfect. For verily, our Habib, your Rasul, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Min husni Islami al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." From the perfection of a person's Islam is that he leaves off matters which do not concern him. So then, what would he be concerned with? If he's not concerned about these matters, what would he be concerned with? Well, then he would be concerned with the matters which do concern him, subhanAllah, himself, his family, the people around him, those under his care, the matters that he would be asked about on Yawmul Qiyamah, his responsibilities. Remember, brothers and sisters, on Yawmul Qiyamah, we will not be questioned with regards to our rights. Brother Ahmed, Imam Ahmed, Sulaiman, Ilyas, whoever it might be, Fatima and Aisha, you will not be questioned, "Oh, these were your rights and you did not take them in this dunya. You had the right to A, you had the right to B. Why did you not take your rights?" You will not be questioned about that. But rather, we will be questioned with regards to our duties. Oh husband, oh wife, oh mother, oh daughter, oh son. You will not be questioned with regards to your rights, that your rights might have been trampled and you did not seek revenge, etc. No, rather we will be questioned with regards to our duties. Did we fulfill our duties or not, subhanAllah? So this individual, from the perfection of his Islam, he knows how to perfect his Islam. What does he concern himself with? The matters of priorities, the matters of importance, and he leaves off matters which do not concern him. So we learn, brothers and sisters, avoid those matters which do not concern you, based upon the guidance of the Sharia, not based upon one's whims. What does this mean? It means the situation of the ummah. This concerns me. I don't say no, this, the issue of the ummah and the issue of the Muslims in this country and that country does not concern me, so I'm not bothered. No. Concern or no concern is dictated by the Sharia. You're supposed to be concerned about your kid. You're supposed to be concerned about your wife. You don't let your wife walk around, etc., mutabarrija, that she's got herself exposed, and you say, "Well, you know what, this doesn't concern me." No, it does concern you. Why? Because the Sharia has made it a matter of concern for you. But something which does not concern you, the marriage of your neighbor and the issues that he is going through in his marriage, where he's not sought your help, he's not confided in you, it does not concern you. All of the rumors and etc., you avoid all of that. So we repeat that matters which are there, that you, matters which do concern you and matters which are not supposed to concern you, what's the criterion for this? The criterion for this is the Sharia. Imam Hassan al-Basri, for example, he said that a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned away from a person. Heavy words, brothers and sisters. Imam Hassan al-Basri, that great scholar of the Tabi'in, he says that a sign that Allah has turned away from a person is that Allah makes him busy with matters which do not concern him. So he's busy with the matters which do not concern him. What's going to happen? That which is supposed to concern him will not get its true haqq, will not get its fair share of time and effort. Allahumma musta'an. He is busy with the secondary and he neglects the primary. Allahumma musta'an. May Allah save us, brothers and sisters. Allah states in the Noble Quran,
أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ Surah Mu'minun, verse number 115. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ
Do they think that they have been created abatha for no reason whatsoever? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ And they will not be returned back to us. He's busy with matters which do not concern him, subhanAllah. And he neglects that which does concern him. How many a times a brother, he says, no, leave me alone, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me, it's my issue, it's my personal choice, etc. Brother, you are gambling. Brother, you are involved in an affair. Brother, you are busy in zina. Allahumma musta'an, it doesn't concern you, it's my matter. No, brother, it does concern me. You are part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are my brother, and I want for you what I want for myself. Subhanallah. Yes, there's a manner in advising a person, there's a manner that we put it forward to them. We put it forward to them and we package it in the best manner possible so that they accept. But does it concern me? Yes, it does concern me. Sometimes general punishment comes down due to the acts of certain individuals. Sometimes Allah's mercy is held back due to the sin of certain individuals and the rest of them also suffer. Allahumma musta'an. So it does concern me. Brothers and sisters, remember, ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. That nothing comes out of our mouths, nothing we say, except that it will be written down. ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. There is this angel on the right and on the left, and they are recording everything, subhanallah. Surah Qaf, verse number 18. So brothers and sisters, busy yourself with what concerns you. Busy yourself with that which will benefit you in this world and in the hereafter. And do not busy yourself with matters which do not concern you. And do not busy yourselves with matters which have absolutely no benefit whatsoever, subhanAllah. One of the mashaykh is now reaching into his 70s. Brothers had visited him. And one of the mashayikh said about him that he recently mentioned that, you know, he's so busy, subhanAllah. To him right now in his life, he's got so many books that he wants to finish. And he says that right now, every minute to me is worth its equivalent in gold. He understands the value of his life. He understands the value of his health. He understands the value of time, subhanAllah. And thus, he does not want to waste them. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he also said, O insan, you are only but time. And as time passes, a portion of you is gone. How many of our brothers, our sisters, our grandparents, ourselves, reach the age of 50, 60? Somebody asks, you know, how did you spend this time? How did this time go? The brother says, it was like the blinking of an eye. I had this kid, it was only as if he was born 2 days ago. And right now, he's getting married. Right now, he's got a kid, subhanAllah. Time flies, ya akhi al-kareem wa ukhti al-kareema. But the most important question that we should ask ourselves, that time will fly. But what am I doing about it? What am I doing with regards to my life? Am I going to go through regret at the time of my death? SubhanAllah. The pain of discipline is much easier to bear than the pain of regret. Take it in all matters. In study, in health, somebody wants to diet and unfortunately they are just eating the wrong foods left, right and center. They say, no, I'm tempted, etc., etc. Fight that want. Fight it, subhanAllah. Fight the craving. The pain of discipline is a million times easier to bear than the pain of regret. Same with exercise. When are you going to make an effort? When are you going to make a start, subhanAllah? Get up and do it. Just go and do it. Brother says, I'm going to make tawbah, then I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to go for hajj, then I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to make umrah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And so far, I will do this, etc. No, there's no better time than now, subhanAllah. Make your intention and do the action. Make tawbah to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not make the swift, you know, later. Rather now, Allahumma sta'an. Concern yourself with what benefits you, and concern yourself with what you are supposed to be concerned with. And as Hassan al-Basri said, one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with somebody, Allah's turned away from him, that Allah makes him busy with matters which do not concern him at all. Allahu musta'an. Busy on Facebook, busy on social media, hours and hours go off this person's life. Sitting in front of the television, busy watching this series and that movie and this one and that one. Allahu musta'an. How many hours have gone? If you only but memorize one short hadith a day, if you only but memorize half a verse a day, subhanAllah, half a verse a day, in 1 year, you would have covered 200, you would have covered so many verses of the Noble Quran memorized. Allahumma sna'am. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a narration from him that min husni islam al mar qillat al kalam, that from the beauty of a person's Islam is that they do not talk too much. This hadith here, reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, very similar to the wording of our current hadith, but this hadith has weakness in it. The hadith goes again, inna min husni islami al-mar'i qillata al-kalam, that the person does speak very little, they do not speak too much. The hadith might be weak, but the meaning might be correct in that, especially if we are talking too much with regards to matters which do not benefit us, then yes, definitely, it is better. There was a scholar walking with his student. Student said, oh, it's so hot today. The scholar said, you're saying that it's very, very hot today did not make it any cooler at all, nor did it make it hotter. It did not affect it in the least bit, and so rather you just be quiet. Obviously, this scholar was maybe on the extreme side. You know, he disliked speaking matters which were unnecessary. Oh, it's so hot, it didn't really make it any cooler whatsoever. Allahumma sta'an. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, look after your tongue and look after your time. Look after your tongue, look after your time. This last hadith here deals with the matter of speech, and our current hadith, hadith number 12, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, leaving of matters which do not concern him, and that hadith there indicates to us, look after your time, amongst other matters. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, in summary, hadith number 11, leave the matters which you have doubt about for matters which you do not have doubt. Hadith number 12, that it is from the beauty of your Islam that you do not indulge, you do not busy yourself with matters which do not concern you. SubhanAllah, social media has given the individual the opportunity to express his opinion on anything and everything. As somebody said, stick in your lane. Stick in your lane, stay on your lane, subhanAllah. There's a medical matter, your opinion does not carry any weight there whatsoever. There's a matter dealing with the construction and project management, etc. Your opinion, you have absolutely no idea about this matter. Stick to your lane, stick to what you know about, subhanAllah. And unfortunately, it seems, especially in this day and age, that the deen of Allah, the most precious matter, subhanAllah, speaking about Allah, speaking about His Rasul, stating and dictating about the religion of Al-Islam, it is, free for all. Tom, Dick, Harry, Ahmed, Ilyas, Sumayya and Fatima, everybody has an opinion about everything. Everybody suddenly is a mufti, is a muhaddith, is a faqih. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Has the deen of Allah become so cheap that anyone and everyone can comment about it?
Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, speaking about the deen of Allah is not like speaking about anything else. This is halal and that is haram. This is the way it's supposed to be done and that's not the way it's supposed to be done. This is something which is permissible and that's not allowed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Who put you in charge? Who put you in charge? Remember, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has stated in I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in, for the muftis, that when you give a fatwa, it is as if you are signing off on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are giving this fatwa that the individual thinks and believes, and that's why they came to you. They are asking you for the ruling of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the matter. Subhanallah. Be careful. Imam Malik, when the man came to him with certain questions, he says, I don't know. Man says, I traveled from so far. Am I going to go back and tell the people that Imam Malik does not know? He says, yes. You go and tell them that I do not know. Subhanallah. Look at that wara. Look at the fear that they had. And today, subhanallah, Tom, Dick, Harry, Ahmed, Ilyas, Sumayya, Sumayya's baby, all of them commenting on anything and everything. Stick to your lane. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Nothing you say except that it is recorded does not mean that I must not seek knowledge or anything of the sort. No, subhanallah. But do not express your opinion. Do not talk about a matter explicitly. Do not dictate with regards to a certain matter if you do not know. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ilm and nafi'. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting, our studying, our learning in our scales of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day when nobody's wealth and health etc. will benefit them except the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart which is sound. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who, like in hadith number 11, what do? They leave off matters of doubt and they stick to matters where there's no doubt. And may Allah beautify our Islam and make us from amongst those with beautiful Islam. And who has the beautiful Islam? Who has the perfect Islam? The one who does not concern himself with matters which do not concern him. The opposite he is busy with. What? Matters which concern him, he fulfills them and gives them their haqq. Walhamdulillah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Until we meet again, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.